You are listening to a podcast by Spring Hill Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Spring Hill Church is called to reach everyday people with God's grace, His unconditional love, and the life-changing power of His Word. Thanks for listening. And if you would like more information, you can visit us online at springhill.cc.
Well, we love you so much. Thank you for being here. And again, we just appreciate each and every one of you. And as Tripp said, if you're visiting with us, thank you so much for being here as well. We love you. We appreciate you. And we just believe God's got good things in store for each and every one of us. Amen. Amen. Well, if you want to take out your message notes, this is part six of our series called Body Armor. Everybody say Body Armor.
Body Armor.
We're going to have a good time with this morning. I've actually got some visual things for you, so it won't be just me talking. I've got a couple things for you to see on the screen. I don't know about you, but pictures help me. Do they help you? I'm a little bit of a visual learner, but let's jump right into this. Let's go to the Word of God, and let's look at our foundation scripture for this series, found in Ephesians chapter 6. Again, if you want to follow along on your message notes, and the scriptures will be on the screen for you. Also, my notes are already on the website, so if you want to follow along there, you can jump on the website on your smartphone or your tablet and just follow along, and everything is right there for you. But let's look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. The scripture says this, "Finally, my brethren." Now, let me say this. I got three words into it, and I got to stop and say something. If you didn't get or haven't been able to be a part of all of the previous five messages, I encourage you, go back and check them out, because there's some things that we covered last week that are very important in helping you find out and understand the scriptures that we're getting ready to read. So that's all I'll say about that. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not," say do not,
"do not,
we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." Now, he didn't say we don't wrestle. He just said you don't wrestle against your spouse or that coworker that gets on your last nerve or whoever it might be. I must have hit a nerve with that one because it just got real quiet. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against rulers, against the dark rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." The old King James says, "Stand therefore." Amen. Turn to somebody and say, "Are you standing?" Amen. Now, if you have your message notes out, let's jump right into this. Write this down if you're taking notes, and that is this. God has not left us naked before the enemy. Amen. Aren't you glad you're not naked?
Yes.
Tell somebody, I'm not naked, are you? God hasn't left us naked before the enemy. He's provided His armor. And notice in those verses we read, it says, put on the whole armor of God. Aren't you glad that it's not fleshly armor? It's not men's armor, the armor of men. It's the armor of God. And so what's awesome about this, look at the next thing I want you to get, and that is this. God has given us spiritual weaponry that has the ability to counter attack and defeat any scheme that the devil would try and use against us. You need to know that. You need to know that the name of Jesus and the weapons of your warfare are able to overcome anything that the enemy tries to bring into your life. He is, matter of fact, you remember what we said? Approach this study of the armor of God as though you already have the victory. You are not trying to win the battle. The battle has already been won. Somebody said, well, then why do we need the armor? Because you have to remind the devil that he lost. Come on, are you here? You gone home already? So he has already lost the fight. Jesus has given us the victory. And so that's why Paul wrapped that up by saying, having done all, stand. Stand. You can stand in the victory that you have. Now, let me just give you a little bit of background before we begin to talk about some of the armor. And when Paul wrote this, Paul was actually in prison. He was being guarded by a Roman soldier. Now, what I want you to understand about the Roman soldiers of the day is that they were like the special forces of the Roman army. They were very highly trained, very efficient killers. That's what they were trained to do. And so Paul was actually literally chained to a Roman guard. So every day he was faced with this Roman soldier that bore all of the armor that we're getting ready to talk about. And so it just stands to reason that the Holy Ghost, when he was inspiring Paul to write this letter to the church at Ephesus, that he would use that was standing next to him as an illustration to bring out the truths about the spiritual warfare. So I think as we get in, as we look at some of these things, you're going to see some things about the Roman soldier that perhaps you've never seen before. And also you're going to see some things about the armor of God that you've never seen before. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, well, let's look at this. Let me break it down and give it to you. Okay, so let's read from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 16, and just run down the list of the armor. So Paul said, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet," or put your shoes on, "with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all," everybody say above all,
"above all,
taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." All right, so with all that in mind, we're going to begin to look at this. Now, I want to show you a picture of a Roman soldier so that you can see what he looked like. All right, put that up, please. There we go. There's a Roman soldier with his full armor on. Now, some of this is very accurate, some of it not so much, and I'll correct it as we get to it. How many of you know Hollywood doesn't always get it right? Okay, they do their best sometimes, but we want to look at this. Now, the first thing that I want you to see about this Roman soldier is what's called the breastplate. This is a piece of metal that covered him in the front and covered him in the back. It was held together by chains over his shoulders. And what's interesting about this breastplate is it could weigh as much as 40 pounds, just the breastplate by itself. So this was a very heavy piece of metal. Now you'll see the pieces of metal that hang down that look like it's part of a skirt. That actually was the bottom part of the breastplate. And so you had all of this, but the main thing that I wanted you to see about the breastplate is how ornately it's decorated. That the Roman soldiers decorated these breastplates based on their rank, based upon the division that they were in, and all the things that they were assigned to do. And this was a tremendous sign to really give them stature and prominence in what they did. So again, this breastplate was the heaviest part of the armor. Now I want to show you something about the shoes. Now these shoes that he's wearing look like something he bought at the Bass store. So that's not quite accurate, all right? But I did want you to understand that Roman soldiers didn't wear sandals like sometimes is depicted in the movies. You know, sometimes you'll see in the movies where they'll have those sandals that are strapped all the way up their legs. That is not the kind of shoes that they wore in battle. And that's what we're talking about. The Roman shoes that they wore were covered up, the leather pieces covered up their feet, and the greaves that you see that go up his lower legs are all part of the shoes. Now, what set the shoes apart was this, and this is what we don't often find out about, is that the shoes very often on the front of them would have 3-inch spikes sticking out from the toes, and sometimes spikes sticking out of the bottom. Now, that wasn't because they played golf. The golfers just laughed and everybody else was like, huh? Okay. No, it was so that if they needed to, they could step on their adversary and they could take those spikes and jam them into the body of their adversary once they had overcome him. And so these were very, very vicious pieces of the armor. The next thing that's not pictured up here is, you may have seen before, and we'll talk about it more when we get to it, is a large oblong shield. There was a shield that was almost as tall as the soldier is. It was probably a little bit wider than the soldier is, and it was decorated very ornately. It was made of several layers of leather that were strapped together and then bound together on the outside. They had ways of treating it in order to make it very rigid. They would wet it many times, and they knew how to tan this leather so that it would be very stiff and very thick and able to protect The soldier. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. The next thing that I want you to notice is the soldier's helmet. The soldier's helmet. This was very interesting because it protected, now get this, it protected the soldier from receiving a fatal blow to his head. What's interesting about this helmet is not only did the shield weigh 40 pounds, the helmet could weigh up to 15 pounds. Now you can imagine that kind of weight on top of your head. But the interesting thing about the helmet is that it was designed to protect the head of the soldier. Now, one thing that I want you to notice is notice the plume that's on top of the helmet there. This would be many different colors based on the rank and so forth of the soldier. Now, what's interesting about this plume is it was designed to get your attention. So you can imagine if you saw, you know, a 1,200 or so of these soldiers coming at you in this full regalia, all of this armor, and they all had those plumes up on top of their heads coming at you. It could be a little bit intimidating, but that's what the helmet was. The next thing that you see that you might not see to his strap to his side there is his sword. Now, the Roman soldier wore a sword that was approximately between 2 and 3 feet long, had a wide blade on it, and that's what he would use in hand-to-hand combat in order to knock someone down and bring them to their knees. Now, one thing that you don't see that's depicted here, nor is it specifically mentioned in Paul's notes, is there was a small lance that the soldier carried, and it was a very small sword. It was probably about this long, very small blade. And what it was designed to do is once that big sword knocked you down and the soldier got you where he wanted you to be, that small lance could fit in between pieces of armor and could kill someone instantaneously. Now, we know that this was included in what Paul was talking about. We'll see it later on as we talk about the sword. But you'll see where Paul included this because notice he said, put on the whole armor of God. And so even though he didn't list it specifically, it is included in what his mindset was when he was writing this because that soldier that he would be guarded by would have one of those lances as well. So that's kind of an overview of the armor of God or the armor that the Roman soldier would wear. But what I want to talk to you about today is really a piece that you don't see there. It's not visibly obvious as far as looking at the overall soldier there. I want to talk to you about what Paul said, and it's called the loin belt of truth. The loin belt of truth. Everybody say that with me. The loin belt of truth. Say it one more time. The loin belt of truth. Now, the reason that I said it was not visible is because it's worn up underneath that shield and the small parts that come down that protect the thigh area of the soldier, but it's there. Now, let's talk about this. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. The scripture says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness." The New International Version says this, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." Now, even though you and I couldn't see it in that picture, the belt was there. Let's talk about the belt for just a second. The loin belt that the soldier wore was probably the most least attractive and boring piece of his garment, his armor that he had to wear. And it was also the least noticeable. However, it was the most important piece that he could wear. Somebody said, why would that be more important than the breastplate or the shield or something along that line? Well, let me ask you a question. If you happen to, maybe you girls, you might not be too aware of this, but you know, sometimes those of us who wear our pants, if you don't wear a belt and your pants happen to be a little big on you, what happens? They fall down. Some people wear it like that on purpose. I'm not referring to that, okay? But what I am saying to you is that if your clothes, you know, a little bit large or whatever, and you're not wearing a belt, your clothes can have a tendency to fall down. Well, what's interesting about this loin belt is every piece of armor, with the exception of the ones that he would carry in his hand, were attached to that loin belt. The shield was attached to it. Eventually, the greaves there that were part of the shoes could make their way all the way up to the loin belt. And so if this soldier did not have his loin belt on, it could end up being a mess. Can you imagine? You know, him stepping into battle and his breeches are falling down and all of that. It was not going to be a pretty sight. And so what I want you to see is that the loin belt, even though it's not visible, it's boring, it's, you know, not noticeable, it is probably the most important piece that he wore because it held everything else together. Now, this is very, very important for us to get this. Now, go with me to John chapter 17, verse 17. John chapter 17, verse 17. Look at your notes there. The scripture says this, Jesus said, sanctify them by your truth. Notice what he said, your word is truth. Say that with me. Say that highlighted phrase together, your word is truth. So I want to ask you a question. If Paul called the belt that the Roman soldier wore, the Holy Spirit inspired him and he wrote that this is the loin belt of truth, then guess what? This is the loin belt of the Word of God. All right? So the loin belt, write this down, the loin belt of truth is the written Word of God. You know, so think about this with me for just a second. You know, the loin belt wasn't the most visible. It wasn't the most decorated. It wasn't the one that got your attention, but however, it was the most important one. And so isn't it interesting that the Word of God is what holds all that you wear together? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, what's interesting about the loin belt of truth being the Word of God is, notice this, if you have a physical Bible with you today, notice it is visible. Or if you're looking at your phone or tablet or whatever, the Word is the only visible in the natural piece of armor that we have. Everything else that you put on is invisible. So it's interesting that the most inconspicuous piece that the Roman soldier wore happens to be the most visible piece that you and I will carry. And so we need to make note of that. Write this down. When you ignore the Word of God, you have willfully chosen to let your entire spiritual life come apart at the seams. You're just as unimposing as that Roman soldier without his belt on because your armor is not going to stay on. And so when you and I do not place a priority on the Word of God, what that means is that we have chosen to let our entire spiritual life fall apart. Now, if there's anything I want you to get today, can we turn my mic up just a little bit? I feel like it's a little low and I'm having to holler. Do I sound like I'm hollering? Do I sound like? No, I'm just kidding. Somebody like, what? Dana was asleep. I had to wake her up. So anyway. No, what I want you to see, if there's anything that I want you to get out of this message, is this. Your life must be based and must revolve around the Word of God.
Amen.
May I get a little better response than that?
Amen.
You need to bring your enthusiasm up just a little bit.
Amen.
Your entire life, everything about you, needs to be based upon the Word of God.
Amen.
Everything. And so that is why it's of utmost importance that we get this today, okay? So you absolutely are not going to be able to function as a believer without the Word of God having a priority and an active part in your life. And listen, I wish I could tell you differently, but I can't, so I have to tell you the truth, because sometimes the truth makes us a little uncomfortable. But listen, if all the Word you get is what you get here on Sunday morning, listen, it is not enough. It is not enough for you to live the kind of life that God wants you to live in victory, overcoming the enemy, being able to impact the lives of other people. If all you do is get 45 minutes of teaching on Sunday morning, that is not enough. And thank God, listen, I've said it many times, but thank God for the day that we live, that we have endless resources available to us to where we can hear and receive the Word of God. Amen. All right, now, look at this. The Bible must be the governor. Everybody say governor. It must be the governor, the law, the ruler, and the final say-so in your life. Now, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. And, you know, I heard another minister this week, and I was listening to him, and, you know, he was encouraging those of us who pastor, and he said, listen, you need to understand that none of us, myself included, we don't get this when we hear it once or twice. You need to hear this over and over and over again. And so I'm going to say it again, all right? Listen, do not try and fit the Word of God into your life. Fit your life around the Word of God. Okay? It's so, so important. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. One of these days I'm going to grow up, y'all, and that stuff will stop. But anyway, just pray for me. Pray that I'll get out of puberty one day, all right? Maybe when I'm 57, in a long time from now. Long time from now. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture, say all Scripture.
All Scripture.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, that word inspiration, it means this. It means that it's God-breathed. Even though we look at a book that was printed for us, it is more than just ink and paper, or it's more than characters on our phone or on our iPad or whatever you might look at the Word of God in. You need to understand that there is something supernatural about God's Word that is inspired. It is inspirited. It has the Spirit, the breath of God in it. And when you and I receive it, there's something that's supernatural that's going on. Even though you might read or study the Word and it doesn't feel like anything is happening, I can promise you something is happening. He said, for the Word of God, or all Scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So Paul tells us that the Word of God will equip us with the gear that we need in order to walk in the power of God and overcome the enemy. The Word of God will bring that to us. Now, let's go on. For the believer, write this down, for the believer that neglects the Word of God, it's only a matter of time before they feel very condemned all the time in every area of their lives. When I ever talk to a believer that struggles with guilt and condemnation, and listen, we all do at some point in our life, but what I want you to understand, when I talk to somebody that I can tell they're struggling with guilt and with condemnation, you know, what does that sound like? Well, they just constantly are rehearsing their past. They're trying to live for God in a way that, you know, well, maybe if I'm good enough, it'll compensate for the way that I lived before I got saved or the way that I lived before I got born again. Now, listen to me. You need to understand the work of Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross was complete. It was enough, and it is not based on anything that you and I do. Please listen to me. You cannot earn. You cannot deserve. You can't work hard enough to deserve the price that Jesus paid for each and every one of us. Now, don't misunderstand me. We need to live right. We need to live the kind of lives that God wants us to live. But Jesus loving you and dying for you is not based on what you did or did not do. It is based on what He did. It is not based on your perfection. It's based on the fact that He was perfect. Now, again, that doesn't mean we can live sloppy lives, but what it does mean is that once you received Christ and you got born again, quit trying to pay God back. You can't. And that's kind of freeing when you think about it. Now, listen, I'm not saying that when we sin, we should not feel bad and go to the Lord and repent. But listen, quit trying to carry what you did 25 years ago and for the rest of your life trying to pay God back. The scripture says in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit moving through the prophet Isaiah said this, "Your sins and iniquities I will remember no more." So what God has forgotten, quit bringing up to Him. And by the way, He didn't forget it because He's got Alzheimer's and is old and senile. And I'm not trying to be funny or disrespectful. But what I'm saying is God doesn't remember it because He chooses to forget. I just feel like I need to park here for a second. Listen, when you and I get to heaven, you are not going to give an account for your sin. If you are born again in this room today, if you have given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and received Him as your Lord and Savior, you are not going to give an account for your sin. See, we've got this misbelief in the body of Christ that some have taught, well, you know, when we all get to heaven, we're all going to stand there and there's going to be this huge movie screen and God's going to show us everything that we did. And you know, there's going to be a lot of crying and weeping and wailing and all that kind of stuff. Not for you and me. Now that comes later on for folks who didn't receive Christ. But for those of us who are born again and living for God and doing what Jesus, or living in the life that Jesus bought and paid for us, listen, your sin, your iniquity is gone, never to be brought up again. Now, so let me just clarify. There is a judgment seat that you and I will go to, okay, with the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is not about sin. It's to determine what your heavenly reward will be based on what you did with what God gave you in this life. So, you know, that stands to reason. Are you living a life, meeting the needs of other people, serving people with God's will, plan, and purpose in mind, so that when you get to heaven and you're standing before the Lord, all your stuff won't burn up? He calls it wood, hay, and stubble. And whatever's left over, because see, fire's going to be set to it. It's going to be a big pile. Fire's going to be set to it. And whatever's left over, the gold and the precious stones and all of that, is what the reward will be based on. So I hope, okay, now listen. Now, if there's nothing left when it's burnt up, don't mean you're going to hell. It just means you got to go back to school and you're going to be in my class. And we're going to learn some stuff. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I just feel like there's too many Christians that are laboring under this sense of guilt and condemnation. And that in the back of your head, you feel like you've got to pay God back. No, you don't. If you do, then Jesus went to the cross for nothing. Jesus shed His blood for nothing. Jesus bore that awful death for nothing. If you still have to pay for it, then His price wasn't good enough. I got news for you. It was good enough. Amen. Hallelujah. So for the believer that neglects the Word of God, it's only a matter of time before they feel very condemned in every area of their lives. Let me tell you why. Because it's the Word that brings a revelation and knowledge of what is called righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. Okay? Righteousness simply means this: right standing with God. I got some good news for you. The work of Jesus was so complete that when you go before the Father, He looks at you as though that sin never existed before. Like, He's not thinking in the back of His brain what you did. It's gone. Look at this, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. In fact, Paul writing, I believe it was Apostle Paul. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. Why? Because they're not spending time in the Word. You need milk, not solid food. Wouldn't that be something? Now, it kind of grosses me out. And I don't mean to be vulgar when I say this, but I'm going to be honest. It kind of grosses me out when I hear about children that are 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 that are still breastfeeding. I'm just saying. Okay, now it's your business. I'm just saying. Okay, how would we feel about a 30-year-old man that walks in here and he's got a diaper bag And every few minutes, he's got to pull out his bottle and drink on his bottle. And then he's got to get somebody to go with him in the back and get that big old man on that diaper changing table that we have in children's ministry and let somebody change his diaper. Why? Because he never bothered to grow up. Guess what? We got a lot of babies in the body of Christ that have been Christians for a long time that are still sucking on a bottle and a passy. Let's all just lift our hands and sing. Now, that's nobody here in Spring Hill Church. I just wanted to say that. I don't have it, praise God. But anyway, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you ought to be so mature that you're teaching other people. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Look at this, verse 13. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. See, when we forget the Word of God, when we don't give the Word our attention, you will not keep your focus on your right standing with God. And pretty soon, because listen, the devil is skilled about reminding you of your past. And by the way, you've probably heard this before, but the next time he brings up your past, bring up his future. It's not so bright either. Here we go. Next thing, write this down. Do you need peace? Let the Word dwell richly in your heart. I got an answer for agitation, worry, all that type of thing. It's called the Word of God. Look at Colossians 3, 14 through 16. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you just barely. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you for 45 minutes one time a week. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. If you need peace, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Richly, not scarcely, richly. I had somebody tell me this one time, you ought not study the Bible so much, you'll go crazy. I ain't crazy much yet. Some people think I was, but I'm not. I'm just saying, listen, you can't spend too much time in the Word of God. Are y'all still here?
Yes.
Has the rain kind of got you a little quiet? Are you sleepy?
No.
Nudge somebody and say, wake up.
Wake up.
Let me ask you another question. You want strong faith? Do you?
Yes.
Then get in the Word on a daily basis. If you need strong faith, if you want strong faith, get in the Word on a daily basis. Romans 10, 17, some of y'all could quote this better than I can. So then faith comes how?
By hearing.
And hearing what?
By the Word of God.
Faith comes how?
By hearing.
And hearing what?
By the Word of God.
Faith comes how?
By hearing.
And hearing what?
By the Word of God.
Now, here's what you need to understand about this verse. When Paul wrote this, he said, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In the original language, it's not this. So faith comes from having heard. It's hearing on a continual basis. It's a perpetual hearing all the time. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How does faith come?
By hearing.
And hearing what?
By hearing.
Faith comes how?
By hearing.
Do you pray for faith?
No.
Oh, I didn't get much response on that one. Let me help you. No, you don't pray for faith. Romans, write this down on the little side there. Romans 12, 3. So then, think of yourself. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly. For God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. When you received Christ, you had a measure of faith deposited down on the inside of you, and you're born again, recreated spirit. Now, you already have faith. But what happens is your faith needs to be fed. Your faith needs to grow. Your faith needs something coming into it. Jesus said this in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." What he was saying is, just as bread is food for your natural body, the word of God is food for your spirit, for faith in your heart. So listen, if you need faith, you don't ask God for faith. First of all, you already have it, but then you have to get in the Word to feed it. "Well, Pastor, I just don't have faith like you do." You can. You can. Quit dismissing it by saying, "Well, you know, I don't have faith like they do." You can. You can. You can. Faith comes how? Hearing what? So you need strong faith? Get in the Word. Do you see why this loin belt of truth is so important? Okay, let's go on. If you do not have the loin belt of truth positioned in your life, you'll not be able to walk in the other pieces of weaponry God has given you. You must start with the loin belt of truth. Put that on first. See, some people think, "Well, I need to put my helmet on." You don't need your helmet on when you ain't got nothing else on. You just naked, standing there with a helmet on. And it's not pretty. No, put that loin belt on first so that as you add the other pieces, they can connect to that loin belt. Even the sword connects to the loin belt. The breastplate connects to the loin belt. Everything is determined and connected with that loin belt. You have to put on the loin belt of truth. Now, as we get into this, we're going to study the pieces of the armor over the next few weeks. But let me show you some things. Put the picture back up of the soldier, okay? Now, there are three defensive weapons. I didn't put this in your notes, but we'll cover this as we get into it. There are three defensive weapons. One of them is the breastplate. One that's not pictured here, and that is the shield. And then the third one is the helmet. Those are all defensive. In other words, they're protected. They're designed to protect you. Okay? So let me give you this list again. The defensive weapons are the breastplate, the helmet, or the shield, and then the helmet. The breastplate, the shield, and the helmet. These are defensive weapons. Now look at this. Make a note of this. Again, we'll cover this as we get into it. These weapons protect you and give you confidence and assurance so you can move forward in your spiritual growth. So they're connected because they give you confidence and assurance of who you are, what God has invested in you as a believer, and then give you confidence so you can move forward in your relationship with Jesus. The breastplate, the shield, and the helmet. All right, now, you got that? There are three offensive weapons. Three offensive weapons. There are the shoes that I mentioned. There's the sword that I mentioned. And then there's the lance that I mentioned. All of those are offensive weapons. In other words, they're designed for you to use. Okay? They are designed for you to use. The shoes, the lance, and the sword. All right, now these weapons, make a note of this, these weapons enable you to enforce and demonstrate Satan's already secured defeat. These weapons enable you to enforce Satan's already secured. Jesus has already secured his defeat. It's done. But how many of you know he can be a little hard-headed sometimes? Okay? He needs some convincing. So what God did is he gave you some shoes, a sword, and a lance that you can use to convince him that he's already lost, that he's already defeated. All right? Do you have that? Okay? Now, here's something I want you to see. Look at this. The only neutral weapon that we have is neither offensive or defensive is the loin belt. Okay? Why? Because it is central to everything else. It holds it all together. The Word of God Now, just take this in context of what I'm saying. The word, the loin belt of truth, is neutral in the sense of, now, I don't know about you, there's a scripture in Proverbs that says that he that spares the rod hates his child. Okay? No, that's what it says. I'm going to let you know, my mama loved me. She didn't hate me. But she didn't use a rod. She used a belt. Anybody else in here experience that besides me? Okay. All right. I was just wondering, because some of y'all looked down. Didn't want to look up. All right. Now, I ain't complaining. I'm proud of it, because I turned into the man I am today because of the discipline she brought into my life. Okay. Now, listen. What my point is this. You can't take your belt off and start beating the devil with it. Because you know why? Everything else will fall down. Use the loin belt for its purpose. We'll give you some tools to use later on. But quit jerking your belt off trying to beat the devil like mom and... Well, you know what I'm saying. All right? You know that dance we used to do? You know that dance? And then what used to amaze me is that you'd get a spanking... And it hurt, and you crying, and they tell you, stop crying. And so you know that thing, were you trying to catch your breath and not cry? I don't know, I'm just having flashbacks, I don't know. Hallelujah. All right. What I want you to get out of this today is this, without this central piece of armor, without that loin belt of truth, the written word of God, the other pieces cannot function properly. So it was so important that we talk about this first. Last two things I want to give you is this. The word of God supports everything else in your walk with God. The word of God supports everything else in your walk with God. Somebody said, well, no, all I need is the Spirit. Yes, you need the Spirit, but if you just have the Spirit without the Word of God, you'll get out of whack. You'll get weird and spooky. You'll be spooky pooky, and nobody's going to want to hang around you. The Word of God has to be central to it all. All right? So the Word of God supports everything else in your walk with God. Here's the last thing. Without the Word of God working in your life, your battle is over before it ever begins. I want to say that again. Without the Word of God working in your life, your battle is over before it ever begins. And because there are people who do not have the Word of God being the focal point of their lives, they go into battles in life already defeated before the battle ever begins. What I'm wanting to do as your pastor is to equip you, because I can tell you the battle is coming. I want you to be ready for the battle, and with the Word of God as the central point of your life, you will be ready for the battle, and you'll be on your way to victory before it ever begins. And so I wanted to get that to you today. Listen, do me a favor, please, 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 get the Word of God and make it the most important thing in your life. I can't emphasize that enough. I can't emphasize that enough. It has to be the central part of your life. And please, we have tools that we can give you. Listen, if you need help with a Bible reading plan, start with reading the Bible. Somebody said, but I don't understand the Bible. Listen, get a Bible that you can understand. There are things in the old King James I still to this day don't understand. But thank God there are other translations. And you won't go to hell if you don't read a King James, okay? There are some folks that the only Bible is the King James Bible, bless God, blah, 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 blah. You know, and I'm telling you, there are good translations that are out there. Get in it, start reading it. If you need a Bible reading plan, we have one on our website that you can go to, and you can begin to read the Word of God and then begin to study the Word. Listen to our messages, but there's so many resources that are available. Please get into the Word
of God. It will be the source of your life. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the truths that we've heard this morning. Father, I love these people so dearly. And if there was some way, Father, that I could open them up and just pour all of this into them, I would do it. But I know, Father, that's not the way you set this up. Father, you said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. We all have to hear the word. Father, we all have to receive the word. We all have to let it become a part of our lives so that it can impact us. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every single person that's a part of Spring Hill Church, every single person here under the sound of my voice. Father, I pray that we all would make a decision to focus on God's word. Father, I'm going to ask you to do something in the hearts of every single one of us. Father, I'm going to ask you, Lord, and I'm asking you right now, make us so hungry for you and your word like we have never been before in our lives. I'm asking you to do that, Father, in each and every one of us. I'm asking you, Father, to stir our hearts, give us a desire for the word of God like never before, so that we crave it, we hunger after it. Because I know what Jesus said. Jesus said that he that hungers and thirsts will be filled and satisfied. So, Father, I'm asking you to do that on the inside of each and every one of us. Give us a hunger for you and your word like never before. And, Father, I thank you for doing it. I praise you for it. Father, I'm asking you to do that in me. Make me hungry. Help me to have a hunger for you and for your word like never before. Help me, Father, to be so passionate and excited about your word, Father. And I thank you for it, Lord. I praise you for it in Jesus' precious name. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, let me ask you, I never want to dismiss a service without giving you an opportunity. If you're here today, and you know, I've talked some about having a relationship with the Lord, being born again. And if you don't know if you've ever made that decision, or if you don't know where your relationship with God stands right now, I've got good news for you. Before we leave here in just a few moments, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt where your relationship with God stands. And what I'm asking is, or saying to you is, that it's not about coming to church, although you need to go to church. It's not about joining a church, although you need to be attached and joined to a church. It's all about where your heart is in your relationship with the Lord. In other words, opening your heart up to receive what Jesus has already done for each and every one of us. We call it being saved or receiving Christ or being born again. It's all the same thing. And the simple thing is that the Scripture teaches us in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if we'll believe in our heart that Jesus died for us, that He was raised from the dead, and then we make Him the Lord of our lives, the Scripture says we're born again, that we're in right relationship with God, that our eternal security is done, that we are on our way to heaven, and it is taken care of. And so I want to invite you to do that today. If you've never done that, I'd love the privilege of praying with you. If you're here today, and maybe you did that at some point in your life, but you know your heart's not where it needs to be, your heart's kind of grown cold towards the things of God, and you want to come back home, I want to let you know something. First of all, God wants you to come back home. He loves you so much, and there's nothing that you can do to cause Him to love you any less. And so what you have to do is just simply turn your heart and come back to Him. Jesus taught us in Luke chapter 15, that when we would do that, the Father would run to us with His mercy and His grace and His love, that He would pour it upon our lives. And so I want to give you that opportunity today. If that's you, if I've described you and you would like for me to pray with you today, I want you to just do me a favor. Just raise your hand very quick. By doing that, you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I need to give my heart to Christ for the first time, or I need to recommit my life to the Lord. If that's you, just put your hand up and I'm going to pray with you. If you need prayer along those lines, pray this prayer with me. Everybody pray this prayer with me so loud you can hear it with your own ears. Say this, say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe in my heart that you died for me, that you shed your blood, that you were buried, and on the third day you were raised from the dead. I believe that with all my heart. Now, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I give you my life. I put you on the throne. You are my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for giving me a brand new start. Now fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me to overflowing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thanks once again for tuning in to the Spring Hill Church podcast. We hope that you have been blessed by today's message. If you would like more information about the church, please feel free to visit us at springhill.cc.